Hey, Agility Addicts, we have a new sponsor we're excited to tell you about, TNC Crates. If you go to tnccrates.com/discount/startline, you can take advantage of a 5% discount on their amazing products. They have the strongest door with a 1/4-inch plate. They have thicker materials than any of their competitors, and they're fully customizable with your choice of venting, color, and door placement. All of this made in the U.S. Definitely check them out. We did our whole episode on how we have our crate setups. Michelle and I are looking into these companies and ordering from them. It's totally amazing, the protection that they provide our dogs. We travel all over the U.S. going to these trials. Keeping our pets safe is the most important. And TNC Crates does that. TNCCrates.com/discount/startline.
Are you ready?
Steady. Welcome to Startline.
Every journey is different, but they all start with the Startline.
We're here to edutain you about the world of dog agility. The sport has changed rapidly in just the few years we have been a part of it.
Join us as we discuss our journeys, share our successes, laughs, and failures.
We will be joined by special guests, and our hope is for you to help us grow the sport we love. Episode 28. Go!
Hey guys, it's Michelle.
And Kara.
And today we are discussing Kara's most recent trip to the AKC Premier Cup.
Dun, dun, dun.
Which was held in...
I feel like we need sound effects.
I know. And it was held in Ocala, Florida at the Worldwide Equestrian Center?
World Equestrian Center. And that name doesn't do it justice, because it should be called the Worldwide Beautiful, Unbelievable, Spectacular Equestrian Center.
Amazing. And we are doing this, as we're going to call it, blind. So Kara literally just drove home and arrived back today. We have not spoken since, what, like a week ago?
Not one word.
She has
seen my Facebook post, so she knows about that. But usually, just to give you guys a little heads up, we spend like 45 minutes to an hour pre-recording talking about stuff. Even when we're doing interviews, we tend to talk to the judges for a little bit or whomever we've brought on. But this is blind, full blind. She got like a couple snippets out of me and that's it. So this is a genuine, Michelle is learning just as you guys are. So Michelle, hit me with some questions because you know I could talk.
All right, so... I watched some of it live. I did have to sneak away to do a confirmation show in between.
Oh, and congratulations. I saw you got two reserves.
Yeah.
Yay.
I was very surprised and pleasantly surprised with her.
Good girl, Snitchy.
She was a very good girl, considering we haven't practiced since before COVID. So anyway, I did get to see some runs live. I actually did get to see both of your runs live. But.
I whimper.
Well, all right. So should we start with. Let's start with how you did, because I think that's the least blind we're going to be for this episode.
Okay.
But then let's go into how you did, because I think eager minds want to know that first and foremost, and then let's go into the details of the event.
Well, I will start off with a little history on Debbie. It is not unfathomable for her to be hot or cold, happy or blah. In fact, at local trials, and I just said in the last podcast, she's like Chex Mix. You never know what you're going to get, salty, sweet, or spicy. Usually, at every event, we have been to Westminster twice, we have been to Invitationals twice, we have been to Invitationals Finals twice, we've done big events. And I was always amazed, but Debbie was always on, to the point where she was spicy, but a perfect, perfect spice. And so, I made the assumption that at a large event, Debbie would be spicy. I also assumed, actually, we'd be a little over the top because it was on this fabulous surface, which I'm sure we'll get more into, but for lack of a better term, it was called, I have to look it up, it's GG, I'll have to look it up. Michelle will look that up right now as I'm talking. But it was a fine, fine, fine sand with felt and fabric. And it was phenomenal. I liked it. We'll discuss I'll talk about my dog. So I went in with a full expectation that I was going to have a crazy, over-the-top, spicy boxer. And I was excited. I was very nervous, too. However, while this was a big event, it actually wasn't as big as Invitationals, obviously, and one bajillionth the size of Nationals. So there was, and it was COVID, so there wasn't a crowd. My dog wasn't salty, she wasn't sweet, and she wasn't even spicy. She was meh. Meh. I had meh at the start line, which I was so surprised. I wouldn't have let out as far had I known she was going to be meh, but I thought she was going to come at me like a freight train. She left that start line in a walk. So Jumpers was first, and I actually enjoyed the course. It had a few more, I call them curly cues, than I would appreciate, particularly on the end line. I like for a premier course a mix of the challenges with the backside, with a bit of running, and I like to end on a big note. Standard ended on a great note. We'll discuss that later. But I was a little dismayed at the ending for Jumpers, but we got it done. And I was panicked that Sheila Gutierrez was the judge, because while she is a lovely person, my Q rate, particularly on her premier courses, was terrible due to not the inability to complete the course, but the ability to complete the course in time. And remember, I run preferred, so I have 46.99 seconds. Has to be under 47. It can't be 47. In order to complete a Jumpers course. To the point where I have this number so memorized that Jordan York came up to me. He's like, Kara, how much time do we have? And I was like, 46.99 seconds. So we completed in 43 something, but it was abysmally slow. And I felt sad. I felt like I was kind of just dragging her through the course. So that's how I did in Jumpers. Standard, I tried to get her beefed up again. It was difficult. And let me say, I went into this thinking I had the crazy dog because she was playing around and batting and boxing at my friend Melissa. She was showing me all the signs. We were digging in the dirt. I was making sure she could grip or the surface, and she was having fun. But then Standard, I could tell I had a ho-hum. However, she came off the line slow, and then we'll get into the weaves, which I'll talk about a whole nother time. That's another topic. And then the rest of the course was phenomenal. I was wildly proud of this dog. I really enjoyed the Standard course. I thought it was lovely. I thought it was everything premier with the flow, with the run, with the appropriate challenges. It was lovely. So, but how did we do? We didn't just NQ, we zeroed, which is detrimental to any chance to get into finals. What happened was you have three chances at the weaves. Debbie popped at, I think it was pole like 8 or 9 in the first attempt. And so I was like, ooh, throw her back in. Time is of the essence. She'll do them on the second try. I must have pulled off. I must have pulled off to the seesaw too early, but I didn't. She popped again, and the look in her face was, but mama, we're done. We're done. And my dog literally thought we were finished with the weave poles. And so I had a split second decision, either do them a third time and hope to golly that we completed them so that we just were losing time and pride and points, or go on, because third time's going to prove to her that we're wrong. And if she pops a third time, what's my plan? So I went on, and I got the dreaded whistle. But I ran hard, and I really want to thank my friends in the stands and outside of the ring that cheered me on, knowing I was getting a zero. And that, whoo, I'm getting teary-eyed. I was proud of my dog. I was very, very proud of my dog. So how did we do? We bombed. We got a zero, but that run was still one of my favorites. Take out the weed poles. It was one of my favorite runs.
Yeah. So they're still both very nice runs.
Thank you. Yeah. The Jumpers run was a very nice run. I just would have liked to put it in 3x speed.
Yeah.
In fact, if I put it on TikTok, it's going to go in 3x speed. So be like, you guys, you don't need to watch this in the real. I thought it was more fun sped up. So that is how I did. What other questions do you have?
The first question I have, when I tuned in to the AKC TV live stream, was how light that surface is on those jumps.
Yes.
So my question is, how did you feel about the surface with the equipment in terms of contrast, visibility? I think that's my biggest question just from the live stream. I don't know if the live stream made it look lighter. It looked like it was a white surface. And the jump stanchions were white PVC with a couple little colors with logos and all that kind of stuff in there. There were yellow and blue poles, solid, which in theory would be highly visible to the dogs. But I'm curious. How
So,
do you think it was for visibility?
I have a lot of thoughts on this. My initial reaction when we walked in, I was like, oh, I knew we weren't running on sand. I knew it was an equestrian. I assumed we have that wonderful facility in New Gloucester, Maine, that is a dirt lanolin sheep's wool mixture, which by
Yeah.
the end of the day, it compacts down, but it still stays light and fluffy, and the wool kind of rides to the top. And then they have this fluffing machine. I thought it was going to be like that. That you sink in ever so slightly, but it's pleasant and the dogs get grip. I knew this had sand in it, so I panicked and I blew out my calf trying to run hills and prepare for sand, and we all know that story. But if we don't, I blew out my calf trying to get in shape for this, which was silly. But long story short, I personally thought the surface was lovely. You do not sink in. I was talking to Jeff Patello, and he said he had. We weren't allowed in the night before unless you helped, but he may or may not have had access to the turf or the grounds. And he d literally described it to me. He said, when you walk out on it, it's like this. And we were standing on an asphalt street. And he says, it's as sturdy as asphalt, but light and smooth. Like,
Interesting.
it's hard to describe, but it was wonderful. And from a human perspective, from my opinion, I was excited. I was like, oh, heck yeah. I felt like I didn't sink in. I wasn't struggling. And then I brought Debbie in and I let Melissa play around with her and let her really dig in. And it did fluff up. You could see that it chunks came up. So I was worried about wear initially. And I do have concerns about wear. We're going to talk about that. And I did initially when I walked in, I went, whoa, there's a lot of white. We've got white walls. We've got white. They did have wood paneling around the edges, but it was not a large percentage. You mostly saw white. You have white ring gating, and as you described, you had white jumps. I don't know if it was an oversight, but yes, I do believe, and we'll get to this in the weave polls, that, and it might not have been an issue for dogs if they had trained on the surface and knew about this color, but think about it. We train, people mostly go on dirt, clay, rubber matting of various colors, but it's generally blue, black,
Right.
green,
Turf would
green
probably be the
turf.
lightest that we.
Right. And I actually went back and watched my invitational videos. I bet you those are the same damn weave poles. They were blue and yellow at invitationals. Same weave poles, same colors at least. So it was overwhelmingly white. Now, we understand that dogs n don't see the color spectrum that we do as distinct as we do. So I'm sure some of that was playing into it, but this is speculation. This is, again, just my opinion. But I did feel like I immediately was like, wow, white jumps and whites. And the surface was sand color. We all know sand isn't white. If you were to paint your walls sand, Florida sand, it would be close to white, but it'd be more like a beige.
Yeah.
And it had these little tiny flecks of like blue coloring in it just from some of the fabric, but very light, very light. So yeah, first impression was, uh-oh, that's the white gating. Because when you
Yeah.
look at finals, which we'll be able to see May 25th at 7 p.m. on ESPN, if you look at finals, they had blue panels, 1-800 Pet Meds Tractor Supply. They had advertisements and they had solid panels. No weave pole or equipment issues there.
Yeah, I did notice that in at least pictures that I've seen and
Yes,
some brief
so
videos that I saw of finals runs.
I
I thought that was
believe the ring
interesting.
gating and the sparseness. We were crated in the same area, but it was further back. There was so much distance. I mean, we were beyond COVID safe. Like, this was kind of ridiculous how safe this was. Invitationals was safe. This was like, okay. So yeah, it was sparse. I'll say that. Now, when the dogs ran on it, it did kick up, and they brought in the dirt guy. I don't know his name, but apparently he's the world-renowned guy that you have at nationals that everybody likes. Drove the water tank in. They tamped it down after every jump height.
I
But
did
lo
see that. That was awesome.
yeah, we called it pounding sand. But lo and behold, I was at the end of the 16s, and because I was preferred, I ran with 20s against 20s. So I always caught the tail end. Now, I will tell you something fascinating. The weave poles, we could not use their traditional screws. I
Oh.
understand. It is a horse facility. There are $1 million horses that run on that surface. If we lose a screw and it goes into their foot, not
Oh,
ideal,
yeah.
right? My solution would be, okay, well, everybody just carries a metal detector, but whatever. We dealt with what we had, and so they buried the base, which made it raise up a little bit. So that was questionable about. I have some questions and would love to know people's opinions and experience. Do we think our dogs, when we train them to do weave pulls, is it particularly visual that we ask our dogs to complete the 12 pulls, or is it really muscle memory? Could a dog be blind and weave? Is kind of my question.
Yeah. You know, that's interesting because I have a classmate that has a deaf dog, and obviously that presents some challenges on the handler's training end. It actually, I think, makes you a little bit more aware of what you're doing because the dog is solely focusing on body language because they obviously can't hear you. But she was having issues with the weave poles in the facility that we train with versus the weave poles that she was training on with another facility. And it was very interesting to me because she said that she trained on channels. And if you think about channel poles, they have a base at every pole, they have an outshoot at every single pole. So there's 12. Competition poles have six,
I think
I think
so.
three on each set of
Yep.
six poles. So six total. And her dog had an issue with those poles. Didn't matter. Solid, it didn't matter, striped. And her theory was that her dog was trained on the channels and was using those bottom supports as a visual guide to go through the weave poles. And I thought that was very interesting.
That is very interesting. So base matters is what you're saying. And we took away the ability for the dog to see the base.
Yeah.
That is fascinating because we'll dive more into that. But does that answer your question about my opinion of the surface and how the dogs and.
It does. It just
Okay.
as soon as I tuned into that live feed, I was like, "Hey, it's white."
Yes, our secretary, Noreen, our friend, messaged me and she's like, it's really white. I was like, that's. I knew that, and that's why I wore black. Because I was like, my dog is going to see everything about me.
So how big, I mean, I know this facility has huge arenas. How big was the actual ring size that you guys had?
I believe it was 100 by 110.
Okay, that's about what I thought, but I
Correct me
wasn't.
if I'm wrong, but it was not. I was predicting these like this massive course. And then when I realized that the Premier Standard and Premier Jumpers could count as Qs, I was like, okay, we're still under the same
You
time
could?
constraints. Yeah.
Oh.
We can't make these much bigger, or then we run into this time constraint issue, right?
Interesting. Yeah.
So no, I found the course spacious, but I wasn't dying, which I'm out of shape. I wasn't dying. I was fine. The last line on standard, but I think I was more defeated than I was out of shape. So, and like I said, I really enjoyed the surface. And again, I can't say if my dog didn't enjoy it, but it didn't make her high like all other dirt. When she's at the cluster and when she's in Maine, she's my spicy little boxer. And she was my mehi. So, yeah.
Yeah, I was, like I said, I was very shocked when I was watching the live feed. I was like, "Come on, Denny!
I know,
What's going
right? I
on?" I was
was
like, "Oh,
like,
she hates
and
the
it.
surface." That was the first thing I thought about, was like, "Oh, she hates the surface."
Yeah, which I, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. This is totally maybe unrelated, but I took my shoes. I'm anal and I pack all my shoes inside plastic bags inside my suitcase because shoes touch the ground and that's gross. And I took my shoes that I wore in the arena out and they had a little bit of this felt sand in it. And I gritted the sand between my fingers and it actually was like fiberglass almost. I
Oh,
wonder if it was
interesting.
stung their feet.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's definitely possible. It's a surface that I don't think many can say that they've run on before.
But like I said, for a human, I mean, I would run. I enjoyed running in it,
Your
so.
feet didn't hurt after being on your feet all day?
Nope, not at all. And I wasn't really on them all day because it was two runs and I was done. I was up in the bleachers sulking. And then people lifted me up, and I will mention them, and that was lovely. But
The agility community at
the
work.
agility, I have lovely things to say about the agility community. I do indeed. It was wonderful to come together with the top of the top. And it was humbling to fall with them too. I will admit, I saw one or two 16-inch dogs pop the poles. Experienced dogs, obviously, everybody there was experienced. So I thought it was a little weird, but I was like, ah, maybe the handler decelled too early because we were cutting to the seesaw. I didn't think too much of it. And then when it happened to me, I was flabbergasted. And then, I'm not gonna lie, I saw dog after dog. I saw the top border collies in the nation, knack winners, pop the weave poles 3 times. So I was like, okay, I feel less incapable and more like this could be a vision base pole color arena issue.
Right. So. Yeah, I did hear. I didn't see very many of the larger dog runs to see the weave pole issues, but I did see on social media that some people were making comments about the weave poles. And I was curious myself because, like I said, in theory, blue and yellow solid color poles, and I'm pretty sure it's safe to say that the majority of the dogs that were running at the Premier Cup have at some point in their training seen solid colored poles. But blue and yellow are the most prominent colors that our dogs can see as far as I'm aware. So mm-hmm. I was flabbergasted myself when I started hearing that.
Well, let me also tell you another interesting fact. To get into the weaves on jumpers, it was yellow first. Some dogs had issues, but not many. Some did. They couldn't get in. To get into on standard, it was the opposite direction, and it was blue first, yellow last. So
I did notice that.
That was interesting. Let me read you some statistics here, because I bothered to do this. For jumpers, the cue rates were pretty standard, if not pretty good. 8 inches was 50%. 12 inches was 60%. 16 inches was 72%. Then we start to drop off, and you'll notice this pattern. 20-inch dogs, 42%, and 24-inch dogs, 45%. So you can see that the larger dogs struggled. Now, that was jumpers. This is the interesting one. All right. 8-inch, 52%. So they went up a smidgen. 12-inch, 25%.
Wow.
Yeah. Sorry, these are all printed upside down and backwards. 16-inch, 20%. 20-inch, 15%.
Wow.
24-inch, 35%. Because a 24-inch ran last, so probably caught up on. I don't know. And again, the percentages are varied because remember, this is only out of 20 dogs, sometimes 19. For example, in the 20-inch class, we had a dog absent, so there was only 19 dogs, but mostly was out of 20.
And it doesn't say, it doesn't show what the faults were in each of those runs. So it could have been a different area, could have been a different aspect.
Correct. We have refusals.
Could have been a drop bar. It could have been,
a fault. It tells you the specific.
Miscontact.
Correct.
Yeah. But still very interesting to see that. Because, the courses were lovely.
I did like the courses. I really did like the courses. I liked standard, despite what happened, on it way better than jumpers. I don't know if Debbie, by association, was like, Shayla, jumpers, trauma. No, I'm just kidding. was she like, I'm going to run slowly. But, yeah, the courses were lovely. I was panicking before because I haven't run Premier since August. And then I went to a trial and I bombed in all the premieres. I had 4 chances at Premier and I bombed. So I wasn't feeling too good about it. And then thinking this is a Premier Cup, these are going to be much more challenging, right? No, they were challenging, but I really, kudos to Shayla and the reps that everybody worked on these courses. They were delightful.
Yeah. I think when I definitely thought that there would be, I don't want to say more challenges with the Premier Cup. I think that a lot of those courses, just based on me looking at the maps and watching the runs, they were really built for speed. They were built for speed, extension, and they had an appropriate amount of traps and very nice flow to them.
Yep, I would agree with that completely. These courses were delightful.
Yeah.
So, all right, next question.
All right, so let's dive into the facility a little bit more. Because I'm dying to hear about this, as I'm sure most of our listeners are.
It was exquisite.
Did I see correctly that there's a bakery and a cafe on site?
There's a bakery, there's a cafe, there's an ice cream shop, there's a Mexican restaurant, there's, I think, an Italian restaurant. Oh, my God. There's a general store that's, like, nicer than any 7-Eleven we've got here. They have their own gas supply. it
housing.
Was... Okay, housing. So,
all right. Let's start with housing. You stayed on. It's, I guess it's not technically on site, but it's owned by the World Equestrian
Correct.
Center.
Correct. So we originally booked at La Quinta, down the street, that was recommended in the premium, no problem. And then thanks to Celeste Mead, who owns Canine Country, Amber McCune's mom, she said to Melissa, who runs the Irish Setter, oh, you guys should get a house. They have, I heard, 4 houses available. So I thought they just had these 4 houses. So she talked us into it. It was something like $200 a night. Very reasonable. I figured they'd be new, whatever, or maybe they bought some houses in the area. Sure, why not? I've always had luck with houses on Airbnb. So we rent the house and we pull up and you go to the general store. I will admit, their newness was a bit of a fault. The staff at the store had no idea really how to help things. They checked us in. They kind of didn't know about names. That was okay. No problem. Then I go to leave to the car and I'm like, wait a minute. How do we get in? She's like, oh, room keys. Here you go. And she gives us these white keys, which nothing on them. They're just white, like hotel
keys. Key cards?
Yes, key cards. So then I'm like, oh, what unit are we in? And she's like, oh, here, 2006. And so then she hands me a map. And luckily, before I drive away, I look at the map and there's no 2006. There's like 2739. So I have to go back in. And then this other girl comes over and she goes, remember, these numbers correspond to it. So that was like, I mean, I went in and out of that store a few times. So newness, that's fine. Everybody's new. But then you do drive off the property. It can't be more than a mile. You just go out of the property, you turn right, and then you turn left, and then you take your second left into this complex. This is going to dumb it down, or not dumb it down, but not take away a little bit of the luster, but it literally is a trailer park. They are modular homes that were probably trucked in and shot up in a few days, but they were brand spanking new, and they were lovely. They were obviously immaculate. They were spacious. They had a... Oh, what do you call it? Like an ensuite, a master section, a master bedroom that had its own bathroom, and then 2 large with queen beds that had a bathroom between them. They were wonderful.
Okay, so 3 beds, 2 baths?
3 beds, 2 baths, full kitchen, full, I mean, lovely. Leather sofa, so I didn't have to worry about dog hair because I always hate that in hotels. I always put blankets on everything. And all, you know, it was the faux wood floor, but I didn't have to worry about my dog scratching up anything. Towels galore, the silverware all put like neatly. It was just wonderful. So that was exceptional. And not only that, so I then also asked, I said, is there any place to exercise the dog? And they're like, help yourself, because there's paddocks galore. And I said, obviously, I'd stay away from the horses. But the ladies also said, well, they have these drainage ponds in the front of the property. But I was like, I would love natural barriers. I'd love to let my dog. She goes, oh, yeah, help yourself. Well, even better, there were drainage ponds on the trailer park property, or the homes. It's called Home Away From Home, which it was. And there were 2 of them. So you went down a gully and up a gully, and so into almost a fenced-in area where every single day, twice a day, let my dogs just, well, Debbie, we took our dogs and we let them just rip it up.
That's amazing.
They didn't bother anybody. It was fenced in. It was closed off. Lovely neighbor. It was just... That was wonderful. Now, ask me about getting Wi-Fi there. That wasn't so wonderful. Yeah, they were like, oh, just sign into the guest Wi-Fi. It never worked. Then they gave me the number for Spectrum. I called Spectrum. Spectrum claimed they didn't have the account on file. That, I never got Wi-Fi. So I assume all of this will be resolved. It was newness. But, oh my gosh.
That's amazing. And that's actually, I wonder how many, do you know how many roughly homes there are there?
Oh, I would say 30.
Wow.
Quite a few. Quite
That's
a few.
Awesome.
Yeah, it lovely. Lovely. Wonderful. Wonderful.
Sorry, so that's where you stayed.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's go back a mile back to the facility where there's restaurants and bakeries, and they have 5 arenas?
4 indoor arenas and 1 massive, like the Olympics should happen here. And also,
all right, and how big are each one of these arenas, Kara?
I think they were 500 by 220.
That's crazy.
I'll have to look them up. That's, you know, you're catching me off guard because I knew a few days ago and I have since forgotten.
Incredible. Temperature controlled, I'm assuming, everything.
Just like perfect temperature. They opened the doors at first because, you know, COVID, they were letting the air in, and then they closed them off. So there were a couple like hot, warm-ish moments, but I want to own this building. I mean, and this was one of them. There's four of these. Not to mention, I took a sneak peek. I walked around the property. I looked in some of the stall buildings. Unbelievable. I mean, just unbelievable. This beautiful courtyard that over... It was majestic. It was majestic. And you know me. It was clean and new, so I'm all about that. But there were flowers everywhere, but there were plenty of fields to go walk the dogs. The parking was right there. It was just well done. The floor before you get into the arena was of polished cement, so it was nice. You didn't have to worry about anything. Dogs weren't slipping or anything. It wasn't scary linoleum or tile. It was wonderful.
That's awesome. I love how dog friendly they are.
They were. Oh, there was pooper bag things everywhere. Like I'd say every, 100 to 200 feet, everywhere.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I just looked when I was looking up to find what that surface is.
GGT,
I
looked on, by the way.
There it is.
Yes, I had, thank you. I had my husband do it. I texted him. GGT surface, and he sent me a picture where he found it. I knew he'd find it. He's very good at that.
But they, on their website, have a very specific canine event area. And I think it's the Goldens. Correct me if I'm wrong out there, but I'm pretty sure the Golden Retriever National Specialty is going to be at this facility this year.
Well, I am jealous I don't own a Golden, because I would love to have a specialty. just to give you more information on the footing, GGT footing, it is a highest quality silica sand. I thought it was silica. Specialized wax coating, custom blend of synthetic fibers and rubber granules. To my, I did not see the rubber granules. I picked it up and I played with this stuff a lot, and I didn't see the rubber granules, but.
Maybe that was little blue pieces.
Those were more like stringy fabrics?
Oh.
I don't know. If you go on Agility Critique, there's a blow up picture of the surface. Like somebody played with it and took a big picture of it. So, nice. But yeah, this is a dream location for anybody for big events. And they had staff everywhere. I felt badly because they literally were mopping the sand back into the arena. I would walk out and bang my feet on the wall. So, they had the door, a panel. I'd bang my feet so less of it would be tracked. But we were inadvertently tracking it up into the bleachers. The sand was everywhere.
Yeah.
But keep in mind, it's designed for horses. People sit in the bleachers and watch. The only people on the sand are the horse riders and trainers and coaches and whatever. So,
right.
It's not designed necessarily to be walked on and tracked everywhere. So it does track, and I brought some home with me because it is very fine. Very
you now should that put it in a little jar.
I know, I should. My souvenir of the surface my dog didn't like.
Oh man. All right. So we covered the facility. We covered your runs. We covered the courses. We covered visibility. Oh man. I can't wait to see finals. I was a little bummed that they weren't live feeding the finals, but I understand that we have to wait until ESPN airs it on May 25th.
Finals was good. I thought the course was fine. There were no weed pull issues. I'll give you that little hint. I'm very curious to other people's opinions, and I would like to know about these weed pulls and standards. So we know color could be an issue. We know the base could be an issue, but I saw some of the most experienced dogs pop. And
so were they missing weave pull entries, or were they popping around pole 10 where Debbie popped?
I saw a couple dogs miss weave pull entries. That was definitely the lower issue.
Okay, because it was a fast start. So I think it was a jump to a relatively straight tunnel directly, yep. And they had to turn into the weave poles.
They did have to turn into the weave poles, and they had to get their body around that first pole. But most dogs entered just fine.
I did see a couple handlers, in my opinion, watching the live feed. Now, granted, this is to, however people say their dogs are trained on the weave poles, but I did see a couple people start to peel away to get to the seesaw. I imagine most dogs would be comfortable with it at that level. However, I do wonder if some of that had something to do with it.
I'm sure this is
as well.
I'm sure it did, but there was too many dogs popping at the same place and having the issues. And you could see, like, Amber's border collies would go in and, like, whack their face or their shoulder. And they don't do that. We watch them day in and day out every weekend. They never have that performance up at Canine Country. It was almost like they
Right.
didn't know where they were. So that, to me, I'm thinking maybe the base, the footing for them was a problem.
Yeah.
Where Debbie, I
It's
feel like,
very interesting.
yeah, I mean, I watched Tuppence, Debbie, Super Lotto. I mean, these dogs couldn't complete the poles. They couldn't complete the poles. Howie, Kaboom, they couldn't do it. It was
Very interesting.
fascinating to watch it. Super Lotto's like Mach 27. I don't know if that's really the number, but he's a Mach a lot dog.
Well, he
So,
made it to Invitational as a golden retriever, so that's pretty.
right. So obviously we pulls would not say are an issue. Again, we're hoping to talk to Dave Hirsch soon. He's one of our judge interviews that we're going to be bringing on, and we're definitely going to talk about the Premier Cup, so we'll get his opinion. But yeah, I for those of you, this I really want this to be interactive because I think if anything, let's learn from it because rumor mill has it, not confirmed, but this location's definitely being scouted, and we believe this was practice for nationals. And in my honest opinion, this is a freaking ideal place for nationals.
Sounds like it.
Oh my God. But, did we notice some issues? I think so. Do we know the root cause? Maybe. Maybe we need to. I kept saying I thought the clip and go jumps, which are all blue, would be ideal for this scenario.
Yeah, you're talking about the stanchions of the bars,
Both
or both?
stanchions and bars.
Yeah, because they do have solid
Correct. For
fence.
wings, it was really those white wings, the dogs, And then we talked about improvement. The equipment used to be the PVC panels, as they were just like tubes, three tubes of PVC. And Nick Carlton was talking about how the little dogs would just like walk through it. They would walk through the panel. So now they're at least actual, the wings are plastic, they're solid.
Yeah.
But now you've got a solid white on a beige surface. So equipment was definitely discussed a lot. So there were some fascinating things in there. And you can hear in finals when you watch finals, and this could be the length of the dog's nails or it could be the surface, but I heard a lot of scrambling off the dog walk. There's a turn. And this dog walk in particular is fiberglass with wood pellet paints. So the wood, sorry, not wood, rubber. There's the rubber. Just like you would find in turf, the rubber granules. So it's not like the A-frame is coated in the rubber, but the traction on the dog walk is, it's not rubberized. It's
Gotcha. Okay.
actual, I have this dog walk. It's actual fiberglass with rubber textured paint. So rubber is put into the paint. And you'll hear like a scrambling off the dog walk by some dogs. And I was like, we're always on rubberized contacts. So I don't know how much that made a difference for some dogs. But again, when you have a dog of this caliber, we've all run on this equipment at Invitationals or Nationals. Well, Nationals is usually max 200. So,
Well, it's a split.
yeah. Okay. So they're all
I'm
on.
pretty sure that equipment is also at Nationals.
Yeah, so we've all, I would be in theory, been on this. Again, I don't know what about West Coast, but
Which also leads us to another topic that it seems to be a heavily talked about is doing agility in all the different regions.
yes, we need to discuss that.
Yes.
Yeah, so did I see anything regional? I mean, to me, a lot of the people are from Ohio, Pennsylvania, New England. We had a ton of New England represented. We had Jeff, we had John Nyes, we had Amber McCune, we had Nick Carlton, we had, Sarah, Melissa, well,
Melissa,
Melissa and I,
yep.
Sarah's from the Mid-Atlantic. So there was a huge representation of New England and a lot of Mid-Atlantic, a lot of, the Pennsylvania area and, Florida, Texas. There were a lot of people from Texas, so, and Ohio, a representative in Indiana. So yeah, I wouldn't say the AKC would go wrong having nationals here. I think that what they should do, and I know it's expensive, I heard, again, don't quote me, that it's $7,000 to rent one of those buildings for a day, which in all fairness is pretty reasonable.
Yeah, it's not as bad as I thought it would
It was
be.
staffed, it was huge, it was, to me that actually makes that makes sense. I mean, if a
Yeah.
regular trial for a building costs like anywhere from 15 to 2,000 in our area for a day. Well, that's usually, yeah, for a day. That's pretty reasonable considering you could get 3 rings in there easily.
Oh, yeah.
So I think they wouldn't go wrong, but I would like to see them maybe at Golden's test equipment. You know, maybe run some dogs on some courses if they can afford with the time, and test out different poles. And also, I would challenge them to test out ring gating. I know that might not be an option, but I really find that the white on white. Now, I know what some people are going to say. What's the organization that you literally have a piece of tape? Like, literally.
Oh, I think I know it was UKI recently, I think in Florida. They had a piece of flagging tape.
Yeah, so I know that we're privileged to have ring gating, but I would be curious to see if that played a role in it in terms of helping the dogs with spatial definition, particularly these dogs that are used to being either on three walls. You know, my dogs train on three walls. They have three solid walls and one area of ring gating, and that's what they're used to.
Yeah, it's very interesting, and it's, you know, it kind of goes back to when we go to nationals, most of the time it's on dirt, and a lot of, like, in the Northeast, at least, that we can speak for, we don't trial on dirt very often.
Mm-mm. No, we do not. I know down in certain areas, that's all they do.
Right. So it's very interesting that there's so many different, like, again, that regional difference.
I was going to say, speaking of regionals, I forget which judge it was. It might have been Laura who said, she'll hear in different regions, show me your dirt, get your dirt, you know, where...
Oh, yep.
Instead of show me your bottom, we say show your bottom, or, you know, 10 and 12. So, I do want to mention some super positives to take away from this. Again, loved the...
Yeah, I want to talk more about the AKC piece of it.
The AKC did a wonderful job. You know, I think we were confused about scoring. We were just trying to figure that out. Was this national scoring? Was this invitational scoring? How does this work? They ran the two rounds. They kept jumpers and standard in the same ring. So some people miscommunicated on some Facebook groups that standard was behind the black curtain, but that was actually finals. They had that set up and ready to go.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And then they did a full rebuild for standard.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then after that, there was hospitality, and they fed us these nice charcuterie boards and yummy vegetable dips and sodas and waters. It was maybe hoping for some alcohol, but that didn't happen. I would have liked it, because at that point, I was really bummed out, which I actually want to talk about. This is how amazing our community is. So when she popped the weaves, we all know, Michelle and I have talked about it, Debbie had weave pull issues. I do not believe this came from that. Because then part of me was like, was it my nerves? Did my nerves? Because in 2019 Invitationals, Debbie does a displacement sniff before the weaves. And I own that, because I'm sure I was a nervous wreck. And she's like, it's the weave pulls. So I was like, is this 2019 all over again, only she's popping? But I don't believe that. So anyways, I was feeling really, really down, as were others. There were others that were saying, you know, I feel like this makes me a bad trainer. And we were just beating ourselves up. And I went into the stands. I was literally like teary-eyed crying. And I just went in this top corner because I had to record my two friends that were in 24-inch class, three friends in 24-inch class. And this woman who I didn't know, I'm like teary-eyed and sulking, and I'm talking to another friend, Ashley, and I'm like, you know, the stupid weave pulls, after I'm now watching other dogs do it, and so suddenly I'm starting to feel a little bit better. And then this woman, Lindsay Burrows, who I had to look you up, she had this Yorkie or Silky, I'm sorry, I don't know the difference, I apologize, but your dog had a harness on that said Snickers, and it's a boy, and somebody commented on it, and I remember that distinctly. And I'm like bumming, I'm sitting up here bumming, and she goes, what dog do you run? And I said, oh, I run the boxer. And she goes, oh, I listen to your podcast and I love it. And I lit up that one. Meanwhile, this woman goes on to win first place in the 8-inch class.
Amazing.
In finals. So she shared her good juju. And I hope karma got you, because you literally got what you deserved in the best sense possible. So thank you. You lifted a really down person. And then that made me really be introspective and say, okay, I need to take my own advice. The rest of that run was gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Get over it. So she popped the weave poles. You didn't make finals. I know, and this is not being disparaging to me or my dog, I wouldn't have won finals unless everybody else faulted. And let's just say the 20-inch dogs that won were not faulting and were a billion times faster. So my only ability would have been to make finals. So I didn't make finals. But I queued in premier, and we minus the weave pulls, we had a good run. So Thank you to Lindsay.
Let's forego the fact that you queued. You got invited.
Right, right.
Let's start there. You got invited.
So I just wanted to shout out to her and Mulligan's mom. I blanked on your name, but I remember your dog's name. You had a golden retriever. So I met new people, and we're competitors. Like, we're literally competing against each other, and we all came together. So AKC in general and us, the agility community, did a really good job of being friendly and approachable. I sat next to a woman. I forget her name. I'm sorry. She had a poodle. She did wonderfully. She ended up making finals. We were joking because not only did we crate next to each other, but we ended up parking next to each other not knowing it. There was just conversation and camaraderie and friendliness and loveliness. There was no negativity there other than us having our own internal struggles. So I take that away. The Premier Cup, it was a... Oh, big thing we didn't talk about, the stress of getting there.
Oh, with the gas.
I had headaches and stomach trouble for days. My husband is laughing in the other room. For days. not for days. The day before, because I didn't believe my husband, who was like, you know there's a gas shortage. They shut down the pipeline. I'm like, that doesn't affect me. He's like, it directly affects every single state you have to drive through. Directly. And I was like, no. Then the day before, I'm hearing like, this state is 65% out of gas, and this state's dried up, and people are filling up plastic bags and Tupperware containers, and they're going nuts, and they're panic buying. I'm like, what? And then Amber and her family had head down beforehand, and they said, and Joe was really nice, who owns Granite. Amber runs them, was helping us, and he's like, they were calling ahead. They were calling gas stations to see if they have gas. I was talking to Patty Gagnon. She was like, I went to 6 gas stations. The 7th one had it. It was real on that Tuesday, Wednesday. I left on the Thursday and got as far as Virginia. I had no problem. No problem. Then going down, Sarah and I had very little problems. I had one where I pulled up, put my card in, got 6 cents worth of gas. And then it was like, oh, hey, we're out of gas. Everyone's like, click, 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 trying to get gas. Nothing's coming out. So I literally just pack up, go across the street and get a full tank. And then one time we did have a really slow pump, and we had some, maybe a gas parking lot argument with a woman that blocked us in. I mean, the usuals. But all in all, it was not the struggle. I packed and practiced. I packed 2 empty 5-gallon gas canisters and then practiced with a full 5-gallon we had at home, putting on the roof of my car with a rubber mat to reduce the static, so I didn't start a fire. Like, I was prepared that if it became a problem, I was going to fill up everything I had and drive the rest of the way so we didn't get stuck. None of that happened. And I got home fine too. A couple gas stations by my friend's Sarah's house in Richmond were out, but I found another one. I got home, no problem. Maryland had gas. I heard 80% of DC didn't, but we avoided it. So the stress, not to mention, I find out pretty early, earlier than second round invites, that I got in, but it's like 4 weeks. I want to get a collar made. I had to take off work. I had to get the van serviced, everything you would normally do, but it was for one day.
Yeah.
So the stress going down there was horrible. I'll not deny that. But AKC and the agility community made it 100% worth it, even though I walked away with one little cue, a bit of my pride swallowed. And I watched some of the greats fall. Not fall, but struggle. So yeah. I think it was very humbling. It made me feel more human. And it was just really enjoyable. It was really absolutely what a big agility prestigious Premier Cup should be.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, those are my kind of final closing arguments, I would say.
Yeah, so it's a great place, I think, to...
We almost hit the 45-minute mark.
I know. We're like, it's going to be
crazy. 48 minutes, and I'm sure with it editing, I can whittle it down a little bit. But, yeah, I just, my biggest message is a thanks to everyone that supported me, even my coworkers for the Pet First Aid and CPR. They were so excited to see me go. Of course, I embellished, and I was like, I'm going to be on ESPN. I did find out later that it was only the finals. They did not sell it. It wasn't misleading, but I assumed it was going to be on ESPN. I should have assumed it was the finals. So I did a little egg on my face there because I told them. And I was like, guys, P.S. No No ESPN. So we could watch it live on AKC TV. And I thought it was well done. I think there was a lot learned. And if they do have nationals here, I would strongly suggest that they test out and consider some equipment changes or colored changes or gating something. Something. Yeah. That's my only suggestion. And I can't fix it. My dog doesn't like the surface. My dog is not a big fan of the grass tech turf, which 90% of the people in our region adore. It's just something I deal with. I run an off breed. I run a different dog. They sit higher on their pads. So I can't necessarily make her like the surface, but it did make me rethink. If nationals happens there, guess who I'm going to bring? I'll bring Debbie just for, why not? But guess who I'm going to bring?
Phoenix. Yeah.
Why not? She'll either love it or hate it. She hates it. I threw away a few runs. She gets to go. I'll find the fields and she'll run in the fields. Otherwise I can see her liking it. I don't see why she wouldn't.
Right.
So
if they have nationals there, that'd be pretty sweet.
Oh, from a human perspective, let me just tell you, they gave us a $10 voucher for the ice cream store.
How was it?
That was delicious. I got cheesecake. I had ice cream for lunch.
And did I see, I think I saw that, is it Lou, who owns Whimsy the Borzoi?
Yep.
Posted that the bakery was even dog friendly.
I don't doubt that. I had reached my caloric max with the ice cream. So I didn't make it to the bakery. Because remember, we only had one day there. I was not one of those people that got there early, which I should have. I regret that. But again, timing.
You of all people.
I know, but I didn't have time. This was like a thrown together event. We knew about it a month in advance.
Oh, I thought you meant like early in the morning.
Oh, that's a whole nother debacle. Because the girls were complaining. Because Sarah and Melissa were in the 24-inch class. And they were like, we're going to get there at 8:15. I was like, those doors open at 7:30. I'm there at 7:29. I had to like convince Sarah.
Did you have extra paperwork printed out for them?
I did! I had all their waivers, including an extra one. Yes, I did.
I love it.
I was paperwork mom. I even had their run orders highlighted. Tempo was highlighted in green. Cannon was highlighted in blue. And Debbie was highlighted in pink.
Wow.
I am the paperwork mom. I'm the organization guru. So I did. I had all the paperwork printed and the waiver protocols and all that stuff. And yeah, so we got some nice shirts and a hat that I gave to my husband and a little toy that Phoenix already destroyed. Yeah, it was... Charcuterie was really good. Oh, and there was, of course, desserts. I maxed out on my calories there. It was bad. Oh, the best part. Red crab juicy seafood.
Oh, yeah.
I know it's a chain, so you guys are probably laughing. You're like, oh, I've been there 100 times. New to us. Unbelievable. We'll be going again. Shout out to you guys. If you want to sponsor the podcast, I will sing your praises because you guys do seafood right. I'm a seafood junkie. There was this garlicky, buttery, spicy sauce that it was a perfect amount of spice. You can ask for no spice, mild, medium, hot. I got mild, I believe, and it was perfect. Nailed it. Hit it home. So, red crab, juicy seafood. Thanks, Melissa, for finding it. We knew we wanted to eat seafood when we were down there, and it did not disappoint. It comes boiled in a bag or steamed in a bag. It unbelievable. So, and that was worth it. There were so many things that were worth it. The house was worth it. The grounds were worth it. The facility was worth it. The courses were worth it. I think, and this is not any mark against the equipment. I think it was needs to be rethought combination of equipment and surface. That's my negative.
A great wrap up.
Yes.
And overview again. Of the event. That's okay.
All right. Well, give us your thoughts.
That was a good summary.
Those that went, those that are curious about nationals, I'm happy to answer things. I will post my runs. There are explicitives. I'm not going to take out the audio because I just don't have time. My friend is from Australia. Cut her some slack. She drops an F-bomb when Debbie pops the polls.
I did notice that.
And then Sarah tries to yell at her to be like, you can't curse. And then she does it again. It's like normal to her. So no judgment. But yeah.
That's right. It just keeps it real.
It keeps it real. She was genuinely disappointed and then cheered for me. So, all right. On that note, guys, let us know your thoughts on Premier Cup and let's see where they.
Finals.
Yeah. Finals. Don't forget to watch finals. May 25th. That's a Tuesday, 7 p.m. ESPN. My friend Sarah with Canon made finals.
Whoop, whoop.
And he placed, well, you can see that. You can see the results. He placed fourth. So I was really, really excited. He's awesome representation of the breed. She did really well. He came out hot and high in jumpers and had some faults, but totally made up for it in standard, had a killer standard course, and had a killer finals run.
That's awesome. Yeah. And Melissa made it too, right?
Melissa made it too. She had an off-course jump, which we dissected for 9 hours today in the ride home. No, not that much. It was, just, you know, it was classic. It was literally just like what happened with Debbie the other weekend where she ran through the broad jump because I was late on giving her information. It was that.
Yeah.
She was babysitting the contacts and just late on the information.
Yeah.
We all know the faults.
Awesome. Well, now we can feel like we all can live vicariously through Kara and her experience at the AKC Premier Agility Cup. So thank you for sharing your experience. And
my pleasure.
This is pretty cool doing it blind.
Yes, it's good because you didn't know the answers and we could have a genuine conversation. You guys basically got to hear how we talk before we record.
Yeah. And all sounds of my dogs barking and my husband walking around upstairs included.
I couldn't hear it. If you could hear my husband.
Oh, okay, good.
Because yeah, if you could hear my husband like giggling in the background.
I did hear that.
Okay, giggling again. He particularly giggled about the nervousness of the gas because he tried to warn me days in advance. I was like, pshaw, that won't happen to me. When you get on the road and you start white knuckling and ripping off all your skin, you're like, it's happening. It's happening. I could literally be stranded. So then I had to pack a battery pack in case the car couldn't start because it's out of gas. I had to keep the dogs cool with the fans that I had to run on a battery pack. So I had probably 400 extra pounds of weight in the car, which blew through more gas. I mean, it was just, but whatever. I made it there and back. I do love driving. I got lost in my thoughts. I have so many thoughts. But I walked
away.
Well,
you made good time on your way back.
Oh, I did. I did. Yep. So, all right. On that note, we shall end this.
Thank you, Kara, for your experience.
Thank you. Thank you, AKC, for inviting me. And fingers crossed we get to go to Nationals here. I know whatever they'll choose will be great. If it ends up in Perry or if it ends up here. But this is lovely. Lovely, lovely.
Yeah,
lovely.
It sounds wonderful. And I hope we get to experience it at some point or another.
Yeah. All right. Well, best of luck to everybody and let us know your thoughts and answers and questions. See you guys later.
Good night.
Bye. Hey, Agility Addicts. I just wanted to say thanks for listening. And as always, please rate, review, and subscribe on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. And stay tuned because Michelle and I are actually looking into getting a Patreon account so we can bring you more cool things and you guys can offer us some awesome support. Thanks again. Hey, Agility Addicts. I have a really cool sponsor to tell you guys about that I actually went after. Walter recently got his mock. Well, I know, surprising. And I wanted to celebrate it with his fan club. And so I wanted to bring something special. And we all know mock cakes are kind of off the table right now. They're not very COVID friendly. So I wanted something such as cookies, which could be individually wrapped. I checked with a bunch of local bakeries. They were booked way out. It wasn't, or they were prices that I found a little pricey. So I looked online, and even though they're local to me, I found a really cool company called Wicked Good Cookies. Now in New England, wicked means very or super, and they live up to their name. They have $5 flat rate shipping nationwide. So whether you live in Tacoma, Washington, or Sarasota Springs, Florida, you can get these cookies for $5. If you live locally or you're at a trial I'm going to, I'm happy to pick them up for you. They'll give you some extra cookies. But they've also done us a deal because I explained to him all about, agility and how we celebrate and mock cakes and how we need cookies instead and COVID safe. And for 15% off using the discount code STARTLINE, Wicked Good Cookies is honoring our discount, which is super cool. So please go check out wickedgoodcookies.com. You can also get them if you're local to New England through DoorDash, Grubhub. They're just in Boylston, Mass. 15% off your order. They can put anything you want on picture-wise. These are great for kids going back to school. It's also wonderful for weddings, birthdays. You can't be there. You can send a box of cookies. But more specific to agility for your championships or even just a great title or just, hey, let's make agility fun again. Check out Wicked Good Cookies and use a discount code STARTLINE to save 15% today.